There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Dia de los Muertos Monday, right? Day of the Dead Monday here, post-Halloween edition of the show. Lots to do on today's program. Oh, speaking of Halloween, just for a second, my buddy Jeff Four is hanging on here with me because I want to talk to you. You can talk about this as well, but we got a couple other subjects coming up. But this one, just I was testing how this unearned income tax would, capital gains tax would work, right? So my children last week, I demanded candy from them before Halloween, and they did not seem to like it. They said, well, because I taught the kids way back, if you've been a listener to the show, I taught early taxation lessons with the children by taking 10% of the candy for dad.
Okay? Right, your unrealized...
candy. So, but last week I said I need to get, you know, X number of Snickers, X number of Smarties and M&Ms and all that from y'all. They said, but it's not time yet. We haven't gone trick-or-treating. That's Sunday night, Dad. I said, yeah, but you're going to get it, so I go ahead and take my cut now. They did not like that. So just as a note there, they were not fans of that idea.
I like life lessons with Sean Sullivan.
With the candy. And it ends up that I have... candy I don't need, but I have bags of it now. So I did just take the good old-fashioned 10% tax from them last night. They got good stuff. Good stuff. It was good Halloween out there. Also, as we get into the show, a couple things here. That Dolphin Island boat crash, and you'll hear an update here in just a few minutes from WKRG, from Devin Walsh. That's not the first crash there on the airport, and I'm lucky enough to have a place to lay my head down that's right there by the airport on Dolphin Island. And, I mean, we've had some pretty darn serious, I think even fatal in one case, accidents on the airport. In the daylight, I don't get it. I guess in the nighttime, if somebody was not familiar with the area, but in the I do not get it. I mean, it's got riprap and boulders around it. It's, you know, it's obvious. There's no trees on it, but it's obvious there. And then you have boats just I mean, T-bone that thing. And you can imagine
so
the damage.
So this is a regular occurrence.
It depends if maybe yearly, bi-yearly or something
well,
like that.
That's regular. Yeah. Enough. Yeah. You know,
rodeo, about 3 or 4 years ago during the rodeo, it was really bad. These folks hit it. And I don't know if there was fatality, but I know there were serious, serious injuries. This one, the people walked away from it, so it's good. But it just doesn't seem like there's things like the old barge that used to be off Fort Morgan that would you really wouldn't know we're there. It was actually, you know, under the water level. But the airport, I just don't get it. But, you know, continue to have these stories out there on that. All right. Really great education during your show today, as often, and a question about what's going to go on in Montgomery. But you and I bounce this around from a federal level, and the reason why the state should push for have some kind of state protection for workers at businesses that would let them go because they didn't get vaccinated, right? And so I started, you know, idealist. I do hear where you come from, but I want to always play the other side here too to make sure we do and exercise this. What do you say if you have a business in Alabama that has a federal contract, right? And and I was thinking about truckers because I'm talking to the Trucking Coalition. Some of their groups do federal hauling. It's an issue for them. But let's go to a place that's 100% federal, like Austell here.
Okay.
If they don't comply and they lose the contract, doesn't everybody lose their job?
Do they? Do we know that? Why not have this legal exercise? Why do we have to take the path of least resistance here?
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, if you're a business, right, and the one thing you do is federal contracts. In the case here, I'm thinking Austell, but there's others that make, you know, whatever, Lycoming or a company like that that makes, has a full military part of their business. if you buck the system here, and I agree with you, I'm not pro this, but I'm just looking at it pragmatically, you risk losing all the jobs instead of some of the jobs. You know, and you could, I think you should holler and lobby and try to block this, but at the granular level, at the like the here at Mobile level, what do you do? I mean, do you buck it? Do you risk losing the contract?
I think you got to. I think you got to put the rights of the individual ahead of the rights of the company. You know, neither is a good choice.
But what if you lose? Then everybody loses their job. You see what I'm saying? If you lose that, but
it's a morality question. And like, are you give an inch here and then what's next? I mean, you gotta decide what's right, what's wrong.
Is that the job of private business to take that fight on?
No, it's the job of the state. I think the state has to.
And I think that should be a motivation from businesses out there that are in that situation. But for them, Sean,
I mean, these businesses said, look, you're an essential employee. You get your butt to work because of national defense. You come to work today. You don't get to stay at home and play quote unquote safe like everybody else. Okay, it's fine. And now you're going to get told there's a different set of rules now. I mean,
I agree with the rules being wrong. What I'm saying though, for that business, if they roll the dice here and lose, all the jobs could be gone.
That's a consequence of doing business with the federal government, though, right?
But if that's 100% of what you do, that's, you know, listen, if you've heard me over time, I'm not here to defend the government military complex, you know, the military industrial complex. You know, I've made it a job of mine over the years to point out all the times and what happens. But, you know, the homer in me, the homeboy here, worries about, you know, could it happen that if you were also somebody who said, yeah, we're not going to comply with that, they pull the contracts and you lose all the jobs?
Do we know that?
I don't know that. I'm just asking. Shouldn't that be part of the conversation?
Sure. But we don't know that is the direct consequence. I mean, does this go to court? Let all that be settled. But I think you've got to take the stand here. I don't think – look, this is not about the vaccine or any of that or the efficacy. But – I do take issue with the federal government and by that.
Well, I agree the federal government's overstepped its bounds here. I'm just saying, but it's not the first time they've overstepped their bounds. What if this was a state? What if we had the executive branch had Governor Ivey do an executive action that almost mirrored what President Biden did and use the state? Is there a OSHA state agency equivalency? I don't know. But if they were there, if they were trying to do the same thing from the state level, would it still be a problem, or is it just that it comes from the feds?
Well, I think it'd still be a problem, but you know, the representative democracy aspect to it, a government that's closest to us has to act. I just think, well, at what point do we give the federal government, our employers for that matter, the right to tell people that they have to do something to this degree? Now, look, this is different than wearing a uniform to work or something like that. You know, there are certain conditions of employment, but you're changing the conditions of employment to include this vaccine, to inject to tell well people that they had to put medicine in their body.
And once again, I am playing somewhat devil's advocate. I agree with the basic premise of what you're saying. But I'm looking at it from a business's perspective and just pragmatically. Idealistically, I'm all on board, but pragmatically, I wonder if you fight and lose. Now, you do make a point that you probably should drag this through the court some, and then at the point you go, your attorneys go, y'all are going to lose this. You go, hey, we had no challenge. Because it's the job of government where there's not a profit incentive here and a job incentive to fight this battle. It's not the job of a private business to do this and lose, because you could lose all the job if you have a job that you make 100% government widgets, right?
But let's say state government steps in here, intervenes, and it puts these businesses in this choice they got to make. Then, you know, is that, I mean, first off, is the necessarily the result's not going to be that they're going to lose their federal contracts altogether. Do we know what, I think it's like a fine or something, right?
Fine per employee, yes. and it was that number. I've seen somebody like $13,000 something.
Right. First off, it's a fine. So I don't know about losing the contract. It's just going to be at a great expense to that company. But secondly, we do this all the time, though, with laws and saying that you can't discriminate against somebody for these reasons. Isn't this discrimination?
Idealistically, I think you're right. I think it is discriminatory.
No, not even idealistic. It either is or it isn't. Is it discrimination?
Yes.
Then if it is, then we don't need to. We don't need to discriminate.
Is it the job of a private business that could go? And let's say even on the fine structure, if Sean Sullivan there, not vaccinated, and
I don't have a
keep him on, it's $13,000 a week because I don't do it. Eventually, you're like, it's cheaper to let Sean go.
I don't have a problem with what Austell's doing, but now if the state has to come in and they have to act on behalf of their constituents, then at least make these companies make a choice about it. And there's a lot of lobbying and a lot of power and influence in these defense contractors, and they need to use it to their advantage.
I agree.
And they can use it to their advantage here by saying, hey, they can even go, if they wanted to, I dare say that they could get Congress to pass a law if they needed to say you can't do this. Well, look, this is what state government's supposed to do. They're supposed to be responsive here locally, and that is the price of doing business with the federal government.
Yeah, they could run carve-outs here. And as much as I have great disdain for carve-outs, they've already set the bar here on carve-outs. We have this arbitrary, 100-employee number, right? So it's already shown itself to be they carve out this and that and the other. Why couldn't they make the argument this is for the U.S. military and we got to keep our military strong so it doesn't apply to military?
So why not?
Once again, y'all, I don't want this to happen, but I'm just trying to make an argument that could question this. I mean, I don't want any of it to happen, but I'm saying could they in this dystopian situation here, could you come in and say, okay, well, we're going to carve out the military contractors because they need to keep the munitions coming, the equipment coming to keep our country strong, militarily. Could they do that? And then what would happen if the military, you work for, if you had a federal contract, it would almost absolve you from having to do it. Well, I don't know. It's just something I've been bouncing around. I want to just make the one argument, the one you are, but at the same time, I want to make sure I'm going through all the paces of what that could mean for jobs, here at home, being completely homerish. I know
what it could mean, but I guess the question is, you got to have some, you got to draw the line somewhere. You got to take a stand. There's a moral component to this, and this seems. I mean, look. If it were me, I worked at Austell, I'd just go get the damn shot.
Yeah.
It's not about me. And people have their reasons for making their choices the way they do. And I think you got to respect that. And it is up to government to take care of this. But we're at a point here where the proper way would be for people to lobby their congressman and Congress to step in, and that would be the ideal circumstance, but things don't happen in Congress like that. So what's the next alternative would be to look toward the state, I think, and that's exactly
And even
at
the state level, we're not looking at the legislative branch. You had Attorney General Steve Marshall, your leadoff batter today on the show. It's going to be through the judicial branch.
This is my thing about the state, the legislature getting involved would be this. I think you approve the standing of the state's position on this by having the legislature involved and having a law. And that way,
it's the way it's supposed to be.
That way we would have state law versus federal executive order or the interpretation of administrative law by this administration up against state law. What prevails? This would be a question we could take to the courts and decide once and for all. But you've got to have that opportunity. You've got to have the legislature do its job and give the courts the opportunity to rule on this one way or another.
Agree.
So that's why I am an advocate of the state acting. And I'm on the state side here, but I think pragmatically, the state has to do something here.
Correct.
And this is, we could get a ruling on this once and for all. We could put this silly discussion to rest.
Yeah, and I think you're correct. It's the state's job, but it's also the legislature's job. And this is just mirroring what happens in Washington. Things don't get done at the legislative level. They're left to the courts. They're left to the judicial.
Well, right? There's these unresolved questions about what prevails and what's the proper interpretation of law, and that's why we have these federal courts. And you got every level, but the problem with that is, well, you just will see how the courts play it out. There is a clock ticking; people losing their jobs here.
Well said.
So shouldn't you give the state of Alabama the best possible opportunity to win? And in a court of law, this whole idea that we don't do this because it's not conservative or whatever, I think you can make that case if you want, but I think you can make likewise a case that there's conservative virtue to protecting the rights of the individuals who don't need to be losing their jobs because they're not vaccinated.
There he is. Jeff Poore, I held him over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll grab some calls and text on the backside of the news break coming your way in just seconds.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:25, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. By the way, 1 o'clock today, if you didn't hear the announcement earlier, Henry Sledge, son of E.B. Sledge, joining us to start off Veterans Month. My interviews throughout the month with veterans from right here, South Alabama, and their stories. I'm going to kick it off with a huge one, the legend of the Sledgehammer, E.B. Sledge. That comes up at 1 o'clock today. All right, ton of text here and phone calls to get to the phones. This text, Billy says, I have a son that works at Airbus. They're doing the same thing. Everyone has to be vaccinated because different parts of Airbus are bidding for military contracts. Let's go to the phones here, and Chris is in Daphne and up first. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sean, first of all, I got to clarify, I'm not the Chris with the Jeff Poore Show. I'm Chris from Daphne.
Okay.
And, boy, after last Friday's show, I had to get on my high horse, and I sent messages to, of course, Chris Elliott, all the way up to KIV, Richard, Tommy. By matter of fact, I even talked to this really nice young man at the White House switchboard.
Good for you.
And just basically told him how badly they were messing things up. You know, of course, yep. Being very polite about it.
Good.
The bottom line is, you know, we're talking about something that is supposed to be controlled by the state. The state is responsible for the state's public safety and welfare, not the federal government. So this mandate, as far as I'm concerned, is completely, totally unfair. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand, other than finally Kay on Friday came up and said, well, guess what? We're going to go ahead and jump on the bandwagon for these other things. So,
well, you know what? You're making, and that's the proper argument. That's kind of what I was getting to with Jeff, too, is I know everybody's looking at the businesses, but shouldn't the state government step in between?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. That's one of their jobs.
Yep.
Hello?
Yep. I agree. You said it correctly. You called them, you know, it's what everybody should do. You should make them not just call me, y'all, do what Chris does and call the people who get to vote on stuff.
Yeah, I had a great weekend because I told my kids about the high horse I got on, and Chris Elliott, he called me back directly. And it's like, if you got a problem, give me a call.
That's good.
So I've got to give kudos to Chris Elliott. And, you know, this is something that every American should be doing because if our vote doesn't count, maybe if we raise enough red flags, something else will happen.
Well said. Chris, appreciate your call. Thank you. And thanks for doing that. We should all do what Chris did. Make your voice heard. So this from Bob says, I have a friend who shall remain nameless that has a company in Mobile that shall remain nameless that has lost their government contracts because of noncompliance to the vaccine mandate. He told me he was going to lose a third of his workforce, so he decided to lose the contracts, and now he is looking for another avenue to make money. So there's a private business person that made that decision. Unnamed texter here, the business must push back. Jeff answered your question, and you kept asking the same question and making the same argument over and over again. I didn't hear that, but appreciate your opinion. Mariner says, also so entrenched with bureaucracy and military establishment that they will never lose all their contracts. They have already begun to switch over to steel construction and repair because they know aluminum warships are a failure. Yeah, that steel thing, now that's been out, Mariner, right? I mean, I know we've had conversations with Congressman Carl about that and others, that that's a thing that they're going to do with that. So, because that's the new world. They're going from the lighter ships back to steel. I think that's the deal. All right, go to the news. Coming back, John Sharp is going to join us. A lot to talk about with him. New members of the city council initiated today. I wonder what the initiation's like for that. And we'll talk about what's going on with this mandate. Yeah, and redistricting.